right, what's up, guys? It is Sideline Spectators with Taylor and Kyle. Guys, we're back. We missed y'all last week. As with everybody else in the state of Kansas, we were snowed in, so we didn't get anything out to y'all. But we're really excited to be back at it this week. Got a killer song going on right now for our homie Colin Click. Kyle, would you like to talk a little bit about the show today?
Yeah, first, let me just say happy birthday to my brother, Colin. You're getting old, man. I'm excited to be here with y'all, with Taylor, and get back to what we do best, and that's talk about sports. So we do have a little bit of a different show lined up for you than what we have done in the recent past. So we hope that you're going to like it. We hope it'll, you know, allow you to formulate your own opinions and maybe quote us when you're having an argument with a friend or whatever. So listen to the show, enjoy it, and then as always, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. And a huge shout out to 316 Go Live for hosting our content. All right, let's get to it. And we're back. Like we said before, that song was for Colin. For those of you who don't know, he's an MC that likes to bust out his rhymes at weddings, and that's his go-to. So he makes for a lot of entertainment, and that's what we did to tribute his birthday. He's old balls now. Make sure you let him know if you see him on the streets. All right, so to start this segment, I wanted to let you guys know that, you know, a lot of shit happens in sports, and it brings out the best and the worst in people. And one thing we need to start doing is analyzing kind of why these things happen and why it evokes such emotion out of people. And a lot of it has to do with all the work that goes into it, top to bottom. So we're going to run through some things that, I mean, really a lot of stuff has been happening, and so we're going to run through how we feel about them, and hopefully you remember what we're trying to say, or if you feel it, or if you don't, again, hit us up on Twitter, let us know how you feel, because we enjoy reading that stuff. So to begin, we just had Marcus Smart in Oklahoma State push a diehard Texas Tech fan by the name of Jeff Orr. Taylor, hit the listeners with a little something about how you feel.
You know, this is interesting, and I really like today's segment, guys. It's just super controversial, interesting stuff, and this may get heated. We'll find out. As far as Marcus Smart goes, Jeff Orr, I think is his name. That guy is lucky he didn't get punched square in the face. You know, and I don't know what was said. Some people said Jeff Orr used a racial slur. Some people said he called him a quote-unquote piece of crap. Whatever it was, you know, I get it. I get that Marcus Smart has to have some self-control. You know, that fans yell at players in sports all the time. But, you know, Jeff Orr is lucky in that situation. He didn't get the crap beat out of him, because you don't yell at a 19-year-old kid. I don't know how old that guy is, but he didn't look like he was fairly young. You know, what is he doing yelling obscenities, or, you know, this kid's 19. He's a teenager, you know. He's lucky, and that's all I got to say about that situation. You know, I feel for Marcus Smart, because I'm not entirely sure that a 3-game suspension was necessarily warranted in that situation.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I have one message for Jeff Orr, whether or not he hears it, but screw you, pal. You should be ashamed of yourself. You are a degenerate. I mean, one of the worst travesties that's going on through all of this is how the media has kind of played it against Marcus Smart. It's amazing that you have like a 40 or 50 year old dude sitting up there yelling obscenities at a 19 year old kid, and yet we expect the 19 year old to behave like an adult. And it's amazing to me how very little accountability that Jeff Orr has shown throughout all of this. You know, I've been to some of the worst environments. You know, I've been in Allen Fieldhouse, I've been in Coke Arena, I've been in the Sprint Center, I've been in Arrowhead. You know, I've been all over the place to watch sports games, and I've heard some of the things that fans say, and it's stupid, really. I mean, it's ridiculous that the fans, you know, a lot of times they get away with this veil of invincibility that, you know, they don't have to be accountable for their actions. And that's, it's really a shame. And I think it's something we need to look into. So what do you do? I mean, how do you hold fans accountable for that stuff?
Yeah, I think there, ultimately, there's not a real good way to do this. You know, we saw this in the NBA whenever this was, 2003, 2005, with the brawl that was the Pistons-Pacers, with Ron Artest and now Meta World Peace going into the stands, literally all hell breaking loose in that situation. Now, Marcus Smart, in this case with Jeff Orr rather, was not as comparable, but you can still see there's got to be a fine line here. Dick Vitale tweeted something that I thought was pretty interesting. You know, this guy, Jeff Orr, was well known for being a jerk, I guess, to players and just, you know, being obscene during games. Move his seats. You know, I don't get why he was still sitting in that same position where he was causing an issue during games. You know, I don't necessarily think that all fans do that. You know, like you said, Coke Arena, great environment. Allen Fieldhouse, great environment. Sprint Center, Arrowhead, all those places are awesome places to watch sports games, and you're going to have vulgar fans, people who yell things that maybe you don't feel are necessarily appropriate everywhere you go. So I don't think it's as easy as drawing a line and saying, you know, you have to be kicked out of the game if you yell this. There's, you know, 15,000 people in some of these places. That's not as feasible, but it's ridiculous. And I think Jeff Orr, like you said, should be ashamed of himself for doing what he did. So
yeah, I think so often in sports we lose, as fans, you know, we lose sight of the big picture. When you look at any opposing player of any fan of any team that you root for, you know, what did they do wrong to draw your ire to where you feel like you can call them a piece of crap or an N-word or some of the other things that I've heard at various other arenas, you know? Ultimately, this is Marcus Smart and every college athlete is really doing what we all do, just in a different profession. You know, he's sacrificing himself, his time, his effort to make the best of himself and those around them in a career that he chose, in a profession that he chose. It's unfortunate that this is the type of experience that he has to get. You know, it's going to be a valuable one.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely unfortunate that this is the respect that some of these guys who are really making a big sacrifice and are challenging themselves, the mind and body and soul, and to be just thrown to the wolves at 19 years old, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And so Kyle, let me ask you some questions here. First of all, was the 3-game suspension warranted for Marcus Smart?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
As the NCAA, you have to make an example out of something like this. This was a good move. Do I believe Marcus Fault is wholly at fault? Absolutely not. Do I believe that he made a bad decision in going to shove him? Yes.
Sure.
You know, I was talking to my dad. He said, you should have just called him a prick and pushed and walked away, you know, instead of pushing him. And so, yeah, Marcus Smart messed up, and he's going to learn from it. And I hope it doesn't hurt his draft stock because dude can ball.
Yeah. That was my next question. You said obviously it won't hurt his draft stock. So.
No, yeah, I don't see it. I think if anything, it shows his passion for and self-respect. You know, in any other situation, you have someone call you a piece of crap to your face, you stand up and you earn some damn respect.
Yeah.
You defend yourself in your family's name and who you are. Absolutely. And your friends, whoever.
And the fact that he is not allowed to do that in this situation, it just goes against everything you know as a human being. And so that kind of screws with you mentally as well. As far as Jeff Orr, he has come out now and said that he will not be attending a basketball game, either home or away, for Texas Tech the rest of this year. I say good riddance, but big deal.
They're not going to have much more of a season.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's like, what, 2 or 3 more home games probably? You know, oh, boo-hoo, you know, you don't get to go to 3 games. Well, neither does Marcus Smart, who, you know, puts a lot more heart and soul into the game than you do. And that's as far as I'm concerned with that specifically. Kyle, any last thoughts to add specifically to the Marcus Smart situation?
Just, Jeff Orr, you're a freaking disgrace, and I hate you. I despise everything you're about.
Absolutely. And I would have to reflect those thoughts as well. Pretty sad situation there, guys. Now we're going to move to something a little more lighthearted, something I like to talk about all the time, and that's LeBron James. Now, I will not drink the LeBron James Kool-Aid. I refuse to be LeBron James fan. I don't know what it is. We've had this discussion numerous times, Kyle. I don't like the way he left Cleveland. I don't really like a lot of the things he's done. You know, he gets the chosen one tattooed on his back and then ditches out of Cleveland when he can't win a title to go make a super team so he can win a title. A lot of things I've not been super happy with as far as LeBron James goes. But let's talk about this a little bit. So he's getting a lot of attention right now in the media because he's not partaking in the dunk contest. But then a video surfaces on YouTube or wherever it started with him doing some what people thought were pretty impressive dunks at the end of practice. What did you think of this video, and why do you think it's causing so much hype in the media?
Well, I thought it, I mean, they were okay dunks.
Yeah.
But you know, the passes is what separated the dunks. You know, he threw the ball across the court off of a wall, and it came back perfectly to him. That's the part that makes him spectacular. The dunk itself is, to me, has been done time and time again. They were nothing. The reason why they're making hype, in my opinion, is because it's LeBron James. I think everything he does now is, you know, it's the culture we live in. Everything he's done has just been, you know, reported and scrutinized or whatever. And so I don't think anything of it. I think it's probably a good thing he's not in the All-Star Dunk Contest, because I think Gerald Green would kick his butt. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, this dunk class is going to be pretty sweet. I think John Wall is one of them. I think Paul George is in it, who did a 360 windmill spinning the wrong direction. Something you saw Vince Carter do in a dunk contest and win the thing. He did that in game, mind you. You don't see LeBron James doing that thing. You know, I'm not super sold on LeBron James, and I think we've talked about that plenty, but those dunks were not that impressive to me. You know, if I was 6'8 and 200 and some odd pounds, 20, whatever, however big he is, and I couldn't do that, I would want to rethink some of my athletic abilities at that point. I didn't think they were that impressive, and I really don't understand the hype that's going around this whole situation. I think what should be deserving more hype is that today, I think it was Ben McLemore that came out and said during the dunk contest he was going to try a 720 dunk. Things like that. You know, why do we have to talk about these, what I think are pretty mediocre dunks that LeBron James has been performing after practice? First of all, why was he not wearing a shirt? Another thing, that didn't make any sense. And the dunks were less than impressive. So that's what I have to say about LeBron James. However, we're going to stay on the topic a little bit here, guys. When we got into the school here at Wichita State to record our podcast tonight, Kyle sat down, opened up ESPN, and there was a poll. It was asking readers, or people who go to ESPN.com, rather, will LeBron James be a top four player when his career is over? Kyle, how did you answer that question?
I was a pretty quick no. And I don't like the fact that people use championships to determine that. I don't, because if that were the case, then really Bill Russell would be the best NBA player of all time, because he's got 8 and Michael Jordan only has 6 rings. So,
or Peyton Manning wouldn't be even close to the top, which is
exactly.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So really, it's more about what I see is, like, can he lead a team to a championship by himself? He took him to the finals. I think he was there. He was on the cusp, but, you know, I don't know that he could do it by himself, and I don't think he'll be in the top four, but that's just maybe my opinion.
It's crazy to me to think that he might be the top four. There's so many other people I'd put over him. You know, Magic, Larry, Jordan, Wilt. You know, there's plenty that I could sit here and name.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, Bill Russell, like you said. Just so many players that I would think of. I would put Kobe above LeBron. I mean, there's just probably 6 or 7, maybe 10, honestly, guys, players that I would put in the top elite NBA category over LeBron James. Now, is he an elite player? Absolutely. Is he a freak of an athlete? Absolutely. Is he the best scorer in the game today? Absolutely not. You know, you think about people like Kevin Durant, who's had some crazy amount of 30-point games, had 41 last weekend, someone who just really dominates the game. As far as I'm concerned, he's the one that deserves the credit right now as an elite player in the NBA.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like I said, everything LeBron James has done has been in the media. It's been hyped up. It's it's been scrutinized and everything, but that's the culture that we live in, and I think that's, you know, that's something that the previous players were lacking. You know, you think about when Michael Jordan and all those guys and were playing, you know, Dr. J, the league was condensed. It was less teams, which means more talent, which means superstars were really better. I mean, they really were. They just didn't have the type of culture that we have with Twitter and videos on their phones and everything, you know? And that's I mean, I think that probably adds to their appeal a little bit too, is because they have that vintage quality that led to a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant to have their opportunities. So,
and I think what you were getting at there, and which I really agree with, is that the game's changed. It really has. I mean, you know, take a Jordan from the 90s when he would play the Pistons, you know, they would say on the defensive end, you know, if he goes up for a shot, make sure he gets smacked to the floor. You know, he goes down hard. The game is so different, not for the better or for the worse, just very different, defensively and offensively, just a very different league. But I'm just not sold. You know, I'm not sold on LeBron James, and I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. So as far as I'm concerned, dunks, not that impressive. Top four, not yet, if ever. So
at the end of the day, a dunk amounts to the same as a layup, unless, of course, those dunks are in practice. Then they don't amount to anything. So
unless they end up on YouTube, I suppose.
Unless they're on YouTube. But anyway, guys, we're going to take a quick break, hit you with some tunes, and we'll be right back.
One of Kyle and I's personal favorites. So let's get back at it here, guys. We're going to talk quickly about a topic, rather, that is always kind of a hot button issue, but we've never really talked about on the show, and an incident that happened last night made us really think about it more. So Kyle, let's start this off. When is it warranted to rush the field or rush the court in a sporting event?
Me personally, I say never. I say winning is an attitude. And if you want to establish a dynasty or a franchise or an organization based off winning, then you need people to understand that winning is that attitude. And rushing the court is not a winning attitude. It is an underdog attitude. If you want to be great, don't rush the court. If you want to be looked at as an equal, don't rush the court. If you want your team to be considered great or on level playing fields, then don't rush the court or the field. I don't understand, because to me, when fans rush the venue, the arena or the field, to me, I see that and I say, boy, they must think real highly of their team. Not.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about that. There's very few times I think it is warranted to rush the field or the court. If you are Auburn and you are playing your rival, Alabama, and Chris Davis takes back a short field goal for a touchdown, there's that much hype and energy running through everyone there. Maybe. I'll give you that one. So obviously, guys, what really prompted this for us was the KU-K-State game last night. Now, if you guys didn't catch that, the K-State fans rushed the court after they beat KU. I'm not going to say that was necessarily not – I'm not going to say they shouldn't have done that completely. Now, I don't agree with it, but that was a big win for K-State. I'll give them that. But they had just beaten Texas by dang near 30, just smacked them, and then they played KU, who lost to Texas – and someone they consider a rival. First of all, if you're someone's rival, you don't storm the court. You act like you've been there. You act like you can win against your rival, if you consider them a rival. And second of all, if you just beat Texas by 30 or 20 or whatever that was, a team who just beat KU, why on earth would you not go into that game thinking you could win? I get that it was a big game. It went into overtime. It was stressful. It was intense. I get all that. But don't rush the court. That specific example just frustrated me in general. What'd you think of that?
Well, you said, what did you say? You don't agree with it, but you're not going to say they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to say they shouldn't have.
Okay.
I like I said, I think psychologically it says something about where you're at.
Yeah.
And to me, that's pretty much admitting that you are inferior to Kansas. And you have been. The records show it. You know, I get that. You actually have been inferior historically in football and historically in basketball.
Sure.
You are losing the overall rivalry record. I get all that. But you're a top, you were a top 25 team. You're bound to be next week,
sure,
as long, you know, without any falls to, you know, TCU or whatever.
Sure.
Without any of that, you're going to be a top 25 team again. You were Big 12 champions last year. Champions don't rush the court.
Yeah.
They do not rush the court. It is winning is not a privilege. It is earned, and it is a right for those who prepare well. And K-State fans just dismantled everything that that team did to beat KU. And I'm a KU fan, and I think K-State earned that win last night. I think they played better. I think they played more physically. I think they overall, except for on the free throw line, they won that game, and it was shoddy officiating to begin with. So they won the game. Act like it. Act like you've won a game before.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially when people consider a rivalry. Now, as I said on the drive-in today, guys, you would never see fans, hardly ever, if ever, in Coke Arena storm the court. You know, they never do that. Like you said, they act like they've been there. They act like they win games. They know what it's like. Same with KU fans. They act like they've been there. They act like they know what winning feels like. They don't storm the court. I just don't agree with it. You know, I'm not going to completely dismiss it. I get that people were emotional and were happy, but I don't think that specific win warranted storming the court.
See, I think beyond, you know, how I obviously feel, I think it's also very dangerous.
Sure.
You know, when Texas Tech fans stormed the court and Marcus Smart just pushed one of their fans, like, that's a dangerous situation.
Absolutely.
When you have fans who, you know, may not have the best coordination or are a little disfigured or whatever, you know, maybe they're handicapped. That's dangerous. If a fan falls, there's 20 more coming right behind them,
yeah,
that could trample them. Or on the football field, you can tear a goalpost down that can hit somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And that seems really lame and old of me, but you know what? I am pretty lame and I'm really old. So it's becoming of me, and I'm learning it. But it is something that's dangerous. You have to watch out for the safety of the fans. You have to watch out for the safety of officials and players and
Absolutely.
Coaches and all the staff that gets involved and the security. You know, it's a very big deal when someone rushes a court or a field. You know, that's a lot of people. That's probably, you know, more than should be on that venue, obviously more than are intended to be. So just, if you're going to do it, even though I say not to, just be careful.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Safety can be a big issue with that stuff, guys. So we're going to actually, this will be a nice segue here. We're going to move into another little section here. This is more about players individually. This isn't as much about fans. It does pertain to them. But this is a little bit of a segment like what I like to call act like you've been there before. And we were talking about this, another thing, just kind of freestyling on the way in. We talk specifically about players and celebrations specifically on the court after you do something. Again, I don't really think there's a whole lot of warrant or need for on-court celebrations. Now, I've played sports, and I get that emotions run high, and a fist pump or, you know, pounding your chest or something like that after an and one or a big three may be a big deal, and it is a big deal. But let me give you an example here, guys. I was watching a game 2 weeks ago, and a specific player was about 5 for 20, I think, or 4 for 20 in the last threes this player had shot in the game. The team was at home, and they were up like 15 or 20 points, something ridiculous like that. this player makes a three-pointer and then throws up the three goggles and starts pumping his chest, fist pumping like it was, you know, like he just hit a game winner. And I just don't really see any need for that. Act like you've made a three-pointer before. Act like you've been there before. Walk back down the court and play defense. I don't really see that warranted in that specific situation. I don't care if you've been in a slump. Clearly, you've shot a three-pointer and made it before. So act like you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this because I think a lot of times you kind of space out about that stuff. And I think like one thing that drives me crazy are actually plays that continue after the whistle. You see it a lot in NFL and stuff like that. So I that stuff drives me crazy. But when a guy is getting emotional in a game, now if the game's out of hand, if it's getting down and they've got the win pretty much secured, all but the final buzzer is blown, you know, I would say that that's a little too much. But in the midst of a game, when it's the end is still in question, and you have, you know, teams you're trying, you have your play, teammates you're trying to get pumped up, you have a coaching staff you're trying to instill some trust in you, and you want to get yourself going, I don't know, I don't have a problem with it per se, as long as it doesn't slow the game down.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. You make a really interesting point there, and that's what we like to call extracurricular activity after the play, or you know, any of those things. There's a lot of times where I agree with you. That's not needed. In the NBA or in the NFL, like you said, people pushing and shoving. You know, that happens obviously in all games, basketball just alike, NBA, in NCAA. You know, a lot of that stuff is ridiculous. You know, walk back down, play defense. Get back on the line, go for the next snap, get back in the huddle, things like that, you know? But I don't know. I just have a weird feeling. I just never have been a fan of people who just, you know, are way too emotional after something like that. Now, like I said, I get it. Emotions run high. And in specific scenarios, I think it's fine. But with the specific instance I was talking about previously, was not a big fan of that. So,
well, speaking of those extracurricular activities, you know, I was watching a game in the NCAA. I mean, it was a basketball game. And what it had, someone was driving to the lane. They got fouled on the way there. They were playing away. They weren't at home. And the player decided that after the whistle blew, after the foul was called, it was on the ground, no free throws, he decided he was going to go up and dunk it. Well, one of the home players went up to try and swat him. And the guy who went up to dunk it got injured because of the play after the whistle. And that's something you need to crack down on. That should be a technical both ways.
Absolutely.
You know, and in the NFL, that should be a penalty. You know, but it hurts. It can hurt. It has the potential to hurt your team. It has the potential to change the outcome of the game. And I don't know. I think in a player's head, what they're doing is just maybe trying to get a little something out of it. But yeah, it's definitely something I would like to see harped on a little bit. I think there are a lot of rules that have been instilled that are maybe not necessary, or have been changed that aren't necessary, or are the focus that shouldn't be. Whereas things like this are happening, and they're obvious, and they're easy to call, and the refs aren't making a difference there. Like this block charge situation in NCAA basketball, that rule has changed, and a couple weeks ago, well into the college basketball season, the refs, there was an article about the refs still not knowing how to make that call. Maybe it should have just stayed the same, and we could have stopped this extracurricular activity or some of the showboating that goes on after something good happens for a guy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. I'm not going to say a lot of this has to do with the players not knowing or not hearing a whistle or not necessarily knowing what is going on. But that makes sense to think about that, guys. You got to think about, you know, in college basketball specifically, a lot of rule changes have occurred. And if the refs don't necessarily know how to call the game still, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And that could be leading to some of these extracurriculars. I'm not saying that's always the case, but it's definitely a good point to raise when we talk about that specifically. All in all, with that specific statement I made earlier, I just like to say, act like you've been there, act like you've made a three, act like you're a D1 athlete, act like you're a pro if that's the case. So that's all I have to say about that specifically.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on, I guess that's, we wrapped that up. I kind of came to a quick abrupt end, but let's move on to this. This it's kind of like riding the heat wave. We've got college basketball well underway, and obviously, if you haven't figured it out, we are huge college basketball guys. That's my favorite sport to watch. But anyway, we're well underway. Teams are starting to get on streaks, and March is rapidly approaching here. So who are the four teams, if you have a team in the tournament in March, who are the four teams you absolutely do not want to see that you're going to have to play?
Well, these are, I'm going to go with four teams specifically I wouldn't want to run into in the NCAA tournament. That if my favorite team was playing one of these teams, I would be very concerned. The first and most obvious one is the Shockers. They're obviously showing that they're a lethal team in March. Last year they had their Final Four run. That was pretty amazing, amazing to watch. I was in Atlanta for that. It was a good time. So if I was a fan of another team and they were playing the Shockers, I would be very concerned. I think they're a pretty lethal team in March. People don't give them a whole lot of credit because of the conference they play in or the strength of schedule they had, even in the non-conference. But I mean, like Coach Marshall said, you know, if you didn't like our schedule, tell us and we'll play you. You know, just that attitude, that play angry. I know that's been well overplayed in the media, almost annoying now. But they're you know, they're a physical team. That's one team that I really wouldn't want to see. SMU is another one.
Oh, that's a good one.
They beat Cincinnati the other night. Larry Brown is coaching that team, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. A proven champion. So that's a team I really
of underdogs. I, a
sure.
proven champion yep. with underdogs.
Yeah. So guys, that's a team I really wouldn't want to see. I'm gonna go with another one who has been kind of streaky, but I'm gonna go with Texas. They were beating, I don't know what that game finished or not, but they were beating Oklahoma State without Marcus Smart, obviously, by a fairly, 20 or 25 points. Got a lot of good young players. Rick Barnes is usually a pretty good coach when it comes to March. So let's see, that's three, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go with my last one here. I'm going to go with Creighton, just with the way they can shoot the ball. They can beat anybody on any night, as far as I'm concerned, if they're shooting the ball like they can. Ethan Rogge and Doug McDermott, players like that. If they're shooting the ball like they can, that's my fourth team that I really wouldn't want to run into in the NCAA tournament.
All right, my four, I'm going to have to skip the obvious choice in Syracuse. Syracuse is a great team, but they do play a zone. And with that zone, you get guys like the Creighton guys, you know, they can shoot lights out from pretty much anywhere on the floor. I think they're going to struggle. And in March, anything can happen. Guys get hot. They start making some shots. And next thing you know, you have a Cinderella. So I'm going to skip Syracuse. But I'm going to jump right down to Florida, who probably has, if not the most, one of the most deep teams in the country. They're getting some players back healthy and strong. They play great defense, and their offense is explosive, and you can't doubt Billy Donovan. My next team is San Diego State. They are phenomenal defensively, and they haven't lost since November.
They're a veteran team.
They're a veteran team with a great coach who's, I mean, to be honest, he looks younger than he's ever looked. But he, I mean, they're looking solid, and they have all season, and they've had a pretty tough schedule at bat. So beyond them, I'm going to say Creighton. Obviously, like I just said, you know, this is a team that can hit from anywhere. I think McDermott is the wooden player of the year. They're a phenomenal team and well coached. And then my last one, you know, I struggle with this because I debated between Texas and Oklahoma and SMU. You know, a lot of those pretty good teams that can get streaky. But I think I'm going to go with Villanova. I think that's someone that's not getting a whole lot of talk right now. You're talking about a team that has two losses. They play in a pretty tough conference, and they had a tough schedule to boot. So they're a pretty solid squad, and they can shoot the ball really well and also really well coached. So those are my four teams that, you know, I don't want to see come March. Now, here in a minute, we're going to hit you with some tunes first, but coming back, We're going to have a little section that we just came up with that we hope you guys like. It should be pretty entertaining, so stay tuned.
Screen falling off the door, door hanging off the hinges. My feet are still sore, my back's on the fringes. We tore up the walls, we slept on couches. We lifted this house, we lifted this house. Firecrackers in the east, my car parks out. Your hands on my cheeks, your shoulder in my mouth. I was up against the wall on the west mezzanine. We rattle this town, we rattle this scene. Oh, and the sun. Oh, and the sun. But do you know this house is falling apart? Can I say this house is falling apart? We got no money, but we got.
All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that tune. As Kyle said before we went to break, we have a new segment. This is called Word Games, and we thought of it just literally maybe 10, 20 minutes ago, so we'll see how this goes. It's essentially, guys, all it is word associations. I'm going to say a word, and Kyle's going to say back to me the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to say something back to him, first thing that comes to mind. Back and forth we're going to go. We may add a little commentary in between if we think something's funny, or we'll just see how it goes. This is all sports related, obviously. So, Kyle, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We're going to start here. Tiger Woods.
Hookers.
See, now you're going to make me think of something crazy here. Wilt Chamberlain, maybe? Wasn't, I don't know.
100-point game.
Okay. Kobe Bryant, because he was almost there.
Hookers.
You can't do that to me. Colorado.
Colorado.
I think that's where his hooker event took place.
Marijuana.
Okay. Dwayne Bowe.
There you go. Butterfingers.
Oh, man. I got to think of a good one here. Who else has butterfingers? Michael Crabtree.
Richard Sherman.
There you go. That's a good one. Best of all time.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. I see what you did there. Tom Brady.
Douchebag.
The Birdman.
Hardcore Drugs.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can top that one. Who else did Hardcore Drugs? It's an athlete. Or anybody for that matter. Oh, man. That's a tough one. We'll go with J.R. Smith.
Does he do hardcore
drugs? I don't know, but he's got a lot of tattoos.
Okay. Mark Cuban calling him a thug.
Okay. Very rich sports owner.
I don't know very many owners.
I don't know. What else goes with a rich sports owner?
I guess... I'm going to say... Because they won the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks owner.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. I was going to go, since we'll stick on with owners here and people who are rich, and this will be a nice segue, Magic Johnson.
Oh, AIDS.
AIDS, oh, man.
Or, sorry, HIV.
HIV. Well, I don't know how I transfer out of that one. Wilt Chamberlain, because I think he slept around a lot.
Back to Tiger Woods.
There you go. Okay. Well, now that we've come full circle, guys, we'll close that. That's word games. That's a lot of fun. I like doing that. If you guys like that, let us know. We're going to segue right into some people's kids. So with that said, Kyle, would you like to take it away?
Yeah. So some people's kids. I'm going to actually go with... I forgot who I was going with. Tell me who I was going with.
You had... Michael Sam.
Oh, and yeah.
His haters.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Michael Sam's haters. How did I forget that?
I don't know.
So Michael Sams is at Missouri defensive end, and this is the first time you'll ever hear me defending someone from Missouri. He came out of the closet publicly, and there are certain people who don't think that he should get to play in the NFL. Well, most of those people are not, you know, in a position where they can make that sort of decision to begin with. And the other people are making, you know, there are people making ignorant comments towards him and saying, you know, oh, he's going to hit on his co-workers and they should have to build a separate shower and locker room for him. Look, the bottom line is he is who he is, and he's still a human being, and he still deserves a certain amount of respect, and the NFL is still a business, and a business cannot discriminate based off of race, creed, sexuality, or anything of the sort, because it is a business. It is still a workplace. He has still earned his right to be a great football player, and that's how he deserves to be judged. Gay or not, he is a good football player. So, for all those of you who want to judge his sexuality and base it off of him as a person and say that he shouldn't be allowed in the NFL, some people's kids. Taylor?
Well, that's a good one. I like that a lot. I agree with you 100% on that. Some people's kids for sure. I'm going to segue into some fans here. Seems like we've been harping on fans and fan bases and all those aspects tonight. That's not necessarily the case, but I'm going to continue it if it is. So there was a video that surfaced on Deadspin and I think on Twitter today of a fan from Atletico Madrid, the soccer club, who threw a lighter and hit Cristiano Ronaldo in the head. This goes back to what we talked about earlier with players and fans interacting. First of all, who are you to throw something at a professional athlete? That's ridiculous. So whoever that fan is, who will probably never hear this in his or her entire life, some people's kids, you got a whole lot of nerve. So,
yeah. All right. So, guys, that'll do it. We appreciate you listening to it, and we hope you enjoyed our new sort of show that we're going to try and instill. So, Taylor, as always, we are the Sideline Spectators, and we bring the water.
Thank you all. We appreciate it.